Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins. Awesome. All right. So last episode we were together, we talked about the firing side of things. So let's just get straight into it and talk about hiring. Let's say COVID's still around and you are where you're at right now and fall is starting up and you're like, man, giving has been good. We've cut expenses. We're good. We're on track. And even conservatively, you are fine. And maybe you had a gap before COVID and you were just waiting to see what the giving looked like, and you've been at a good level. So you are wanting to hire a teammate. How do you go about, okay, so there's obviously the hiring practices, but just during this season of COVID, do you think that there are unique dynamics around hiring someone that we should consider kind of uniquely right now? And then maybe we'll get to some of the other hiring practices.
For sure. I do think this is a healthy reminder that, you know, some churches are not having an issue with giving. Yeah. And I would say one of the reasons why it's not the only reason, but one of the reasons why some churches are really strong right now in giving is because they're really clear with a very compelling vision. So whether you're talking about money or whether you're talking about people, those things follow vision. So the other reason why, you know, I could be hiring right now and I could hire away some really good staff from other people, if those people don't have a clear, compelling vision, and if those people are hurting financially or they have to reduce some of their staffing or something like that, I've got it. And if I've got money in the pocket, man, that's one thing. But have a clear, compelling vision on top of money in the pocket, which, by the way, again, as I said, is part of the reason you probably have money in your pocket to spend. So it is a great time for you right now. You have a unique opportunity to hire some really good people. As far as how to go about doing that, I would say, yes, there are some unique things that you need to consider in, I would say, whether it's a staff role or a coach role or a ministry director role or a leader role or a volunteer role. All of your roles right now need to be audited in light of a short term and a midterm in light of COVID. So when you're going to get, make sure that you know what you're looking for. Make sure that that person's skill set meets with what you believe the new day is going to look like.
Yeah, completely. Because I think part of it is when we think about hiring, our mind immediately goes to a paradigm, right? Or what was and what we are used to. So there's that sense of, oh, we were never able to replace that preschool director, or we were never able to, once we got rid of our youth pastor, our children's pastor became the next gen pastor, and he began overseeing all of it, or she did. And you're like, okay, but when we get the finances, we now need to hire that again. So just check your biases, check your assumptions, because in the day and age that we are in right now, we all know that phrase, the new normal, has been used quite a bit, maybe worn out at this point, but there is that sense where we really are in a new normal. And post-COVID, the longer this goes on, the more permanent and long lasting these new normals are going to become. So I don't think anyone yet knows how this is all going to affect digital, and for all the churches that went digital, and even some a couple months ago, some research that came out of Barna with the lower numbers that they're finding across North America on Sundays, they actually, the one thing that really popped out to me was that they were like, hey, a third of those who usually attend are just not attending anymore. So there's that sense where how should that affect your hiring? Do you actually, instead of hiring a groups pastor or an associate pastor that has 70% groups in their portfolio, do you actually hire someone who has 70% evangelism in their portfolio? Or instead of hiring that youth pastor position, what if you actually hire a digital pastor position, right? So there's that sense where we really do need to think new paradigms in order and think creatively as it relates to hiring at this moment.
So I've said this probably at some point on the podcast, and you've definitely heard me say it. I tend to hire the person over the position.
Yes. Yes.
And so, you know, I would say, you know, you need to be reading books like The Leadership Code and Ideal mm-hmm. Team Player and things like that. When you're thinking about who am I hiring, hire the person, not the position. What do I mean by that? Well, according to the book Leadership Code, 67% of what makes someone an effective leader at like a director level, whether it's a kids minister, a student minister, director of groups, or director of evangelism, 67% of the competencies required are transferable at that level. And so what that means is if someone is a good fill in the blank at that level, director, if you shifted them over into a completely different ministry area, they would have 67% of the competency needed to do that. So that's why it's important, especially now in a ever-changing environment, in an ever-changing world of ministry, hiring that person who is just a really competent human capital developer, who has some strategy, who is good at managing talent, who is reasonable at execution. That's the personal proficiency that you want in a leader. That's all Leadership Code stuff, from the stats down to those kind of quadrants. So consider, I would say strongly consider the person over the position, especially in this context, and make sure more than anything that that person is very experienced in Ephesians 4. And can show you their fruit, not in what they've done, but who they've developed. Your line of questioning for hiring someone right now should be a lot more about what they've, who they've developed than what they've done. Yes, the foundation is what they've done, and does it somewhat match up with what you're doing? But on top of that, I would say, man, you want to look for agile leaders. I'm going to be quiet.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's
another
18 minute episode.
Well, no, the good thing is next time we get together, our next episode, we're going to be revisiting core competencies and even talking about that sense of, I'm glad you brought up the Leadership Code, because that really does set up our next episode, Lifeway Leadership, a few years back. I mean, I don't know, is it 4 years now? 4 years or something, or 5 years, where we did that research, right? Research project around leadership competency. So that's what we're going to be talking about, not from the perspective of rehashing that, but from the perspective of, are there different competencies now? Should we add one? Should we take one away? So we'll get to that on episode 518. But for the purposes of this episode, as it relates to hiring, I'm glad you brought up the ideal team player as well, because there's actually a lot of hiring questions that Lencioni includes in that book and on his website, because he says the ideal team player is humble, hungry, and smart. So he actually gives a framework around how do you manage toward that, but also how do you interview those skills or those characteristics, those values, and see if someone has them. So I would add, on top of all that you said, Todd, I would add, especially within the church context, the importance of a calling. So for me, I'm having such a blast being back in the local church and with the future of Beulah, there's just a lot of visions and dreams, and just that sense of future. What does that future look like? Impact that God has just been stirring and downloading on my heart. The most recent one is that I really do believe that God is calling us to be a teaching hospital. So not necessarily a hospital, but that sense, but really a teaching hospital from the perspective of how we are going to be rolling out and leveraging our leadership pipeline and our discipleship pathway and our calling to the city. Our church this next year is going to be 100 years old. And from the beginning, I mean, we've planted over 60 churches out of our church. So there's that sense of what does multiplication look like in the next 100 years? What is our role in the city? And that teaching hospital side is just, it's just the longer I sit on that, the more excited I get about that aspect of what does our war college look like, right? What does our college, our school of ministry look like so that we can be a part of Matthew 9, 35 to 38. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. So I say all that because one of the things that I am looking forward for, in addition to all of the other stuff that we've talked about, is a love for the church, first and foremost, but a love for my city here, a love and a calling for my city right here. So yes, we do need to find the person, the right person first. But I think part of that within the church context is what gets them up in the morning, and do they have a calling? Obviously, if it's a pastoral position, a pastoral calling, but a calling to your city as well, because I do believe that God does that.
Good deal. I'm not going to say a ton about calling. I mean,
okay.
You know that. So I feel like my life has a calling. There's been definitely times in my ministry journey where I've been prompted strongly by the Lord, and I definitely pay attention to that. But I'm always careful on being called to a specific church. I do feel like I was called to DC though. And that was a city-based thing because I interviewed with one church there about a week before my honeymoon. They told me I had the job, and then they called me 2 days later and said, well, actually, you don't. One of our elders had a dream or something. But I ended up saying, you know what? I know I'm supposed to be in D.C., and that's how I ended up at McLean. But how I ended up at Lifeway was I know that God has a calling on my wife or on my life. I guess I'm a wife too. on my life for, you know, really Ephesians 4. And if I'm going to help change church practice, then it was Lifeway. And then what really was crazy was, you know, I felt called to stay despite having other opportunities. Felt called to stay at Lifeway and really finish what I started. So I believe in calling somewhat, but I think we can overemphasize calling some. So that's where I'm just always want to be careful. When a church says, why are you called to this church? Man, that's a tough, you're putting people in a tough spot. You're almost making them manufacture something unless it's genuine.
Yeah. And that's where discernment is more than just a 15 minute podcast episode. there's even on the calling piece of things. Yeah. So that's where I think that does look different. It really does look different in different seasons where even the interesting thing for me is before moving back up here to Edmonton, Christina and I never felt called to a city. We felt led and called to Lifeway and to the other positions and other places that we've served. But as it relates to Edmonton, I mean, we've lived here before. I was pastoring at the church before, but there it was different this time around. So yeah, that's the interesting thing about discernment. Well, all right. Any last thoughts in and around hiring?
Be picky. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, that's right.
Be picky and make sure that you're thinking about their spouse and family in the process as well. Not that, you know, you're hiring the spouse and the spouse has specific duties and things like that, but that does have a bearing on their ministry, you know, and whether or not it is more of just a job or if it is a life calling. A life ministry that person and their family is kind of called to really be a part of your church family, just a opportunity to exhibit their, you know, spiritual gifts that God and talents that God's given them. But no, this is really something that they're bought into.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely not the first thing. But man, if you're filtering between or trying to decide between a few candidates, a spouse and a family that is 120% supportive, I mean, you are like, they are going to be, that spouse is going to just add fire, be such a catalyst, and there's going to be such a multiplier effect, because yeah, you're not hiring both, you're hiring the person you're hiring. But if that spouse is all in and they are, then you've then added a high capacity lay leader into the mix as well. And then there's just that huge synergy that happens versus a spouse that, that could care less or that has no interest in the church or has no interest. I mean, that's very difficult to navigate. So yeah, it's definitely something you want to be sensitive in and around when you're hiring. All right. So once again, if there's something that we talked about on this episode that you're like, oh, you guys need to keep on going a little bit more on that, double click on that, just send a follow-up question. Speakpipe.com/newchurches. Speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device. Or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right. Send a voicemail and we would love to answer your follow-up question on this episode or on any of the other episodes on our podcast. Thanks again for listening in and we'll catch you next time.